Could somebody read Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 for me? Revelation 1, 1.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
I'm coming. Okay, there's a particular passage, I'll find it. As I've said, in fact, you know, taking for granted that all were here last week. If you are here and you do not have a lesson sheet, that is, if you have never received the one, if you have never received a lesson sheet, we will provide you one. If you had previously received a lesson sheet, then the offer is not for you. But if you have not received a lesson sheet previously on this subject, we will provide you one. Okay? I'm going to be asking that few lines in part B be read, but there is a little diversion, not from the lesson. There's a point that I think it is important for your knowledge as it relates to the lesson, and that it is important too that it be recorded so that those who may obtain the CD or the thumb drive, whatever, they will have this information, this truth relating to the subject. So I'll be dealing with that in a few minutes. Could we have Brother Webb, or whichever of you brothers have the mic, to read part B in section 5.
Noticeable also, as observed by Greek scholars, is that the normal word for veil, the noun, katapetasona, is not used in the text of 1 Corinthians 11:1-16 at all.
This is important. Wait, go on.
The Holy Spirit uses a participle in verse 4. The Greek phrase katakephalis ekon, which literally means having down over one's head, a covering. This is translated by many translators as a covering put over the head, anything on his head, or having anything on his head. Notice that the covering suggested for the woman is for a specific time and not for other times.
This, when we get to this, there are so many things in the passage that teaches lesson and clear a point that over and over you hear people asking. And a lot of times you have people asking because they are a little confused. Other people ask because they want to overthrow what the Bible is teaching. And what has just been said, that the kind of covering and the consideration by the apostle is one that was meant for a specific time and not other times. We are going to discuss that further. But for now, I want to just look on the throw it out, what everybody going to be. It's a program on. The time that I want to take a little break to deal with, it has direct bearing on the lesson. It came up in about when I preached 2 or 3 or 4 lesson year on the subject of veiling and covering. It came up in those lessons, but there are many of you who are here now who might not have been in our worship services and would not be benefited from it. And even those who were there might have forgotten the points that were being made. And that is the importance and the meaning of symbol as used in the Bible. The Bible has a lot of symbolic truth, meaning a particular thing is used as a symbol pointing to truth of everlasting importance that God wants us to know. And when you miss what that symbol is teaching and what that symbol is pointing you to, then you miss the whole lesson of what the Bible is teaching. The whole Bible is full of symbols. Read it, let me hear, Brother Webb.
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamp as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth.
Read it again.
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Revelations 5, verse 6.
Okay, sorry, yes. So as I was saying about symbols, there are a lot of things that God did not provide man with the why, but quite a lot of things the Almighty God provide man with the what, the how, and the why. Whenever you and I are provided by the Almighty God in His revelation with the why we do things, it helps us to realize how important the thing is, because the why. For example, I learned that I must be baptized, and the Bible tells me why, and there are many whys. By why, we are addressing the reason, the purpose. Why do you do this? You do this. I get baptized for the removal of my sin. The Bible teaches that. I get baptized to unite with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, 1 through verse 5. I get baptized to get in Jesus' death. I get baptized to get under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can go on. And all this the Bible teaches. So a person will come and say baptism is not important, is because that person is ignorant in respect to the why, the reason behind baptism. Well, I said that to say this. Remember, we are briefly looking on symbols, their meaning, and their importance. In Old and New Testament, in the passage which has just been read, if you just read the verse 5, or rather verse 6, you would be baffled over the fact that Jesus Christ is being described as having seven horns. Not two, seven horns. But brothers and sisters, all that is symbolic. When we understand the symbol behind that, for example, when we understand that horn stands for power, Old and New Testament, when the Bible described, or even things built by God's command, in the tabernacle or wherever, seven horns, it stands for power, might. Seven stands for perfection or completion. So when you read of Jesus Christ being described of having seven horns, you have a right probably to ask, well, why seven? Why not six? Because of the symbolic meaning of the number seven. Well, why horn? Doesn't that sound to us like a monster? No, in the Bible, when we do our homework, we'll realize horn stands for power, might. That's in that passage, God is coming to us, teaching us about Jesus Christ and Jesus' power and might. Are we all there? Under the New Testament system, our teaching on the subject of head covering, are we all there? One must first understand the symbolic meaning of covering or veiling in the Bible, not just New Testament, but Old Testament. Until you have a fairly good understanding and knowledge of what the Bible teaches about covering in the entire Bible, you will not learn to appreciate the importance of head covering and see that, in fact, it is important to God. One of the things I pointed out and share with you here is the fact that when God created man and man sinned, are we all there? The sin brought consciousness of shame. Before sin, Adam and Eve go around naked, them now have to wonder what tail have to take him suit to and what dress make. They just go around. There was no shame. It is sin that brought shame. And having now that consciousness that they were naked, shame came in as a result of sin. Adam rushed to cover himself. This is in Genesis chapter 3. Rushed to cover, well, both of them. Let us hear it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, 7 and 10.
And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked.
They knew that they were naked.
And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
May I? The fig leaves, may I? Watch here. Covering their nakedness is a symbolic covering of their sin. because it is the sin that brought the shame. But the man made, the man origin form of covering was inadequate. It did not meet the need that needs to be met. So you know what now? The Almighty God going to step in the picture and provide an appropriate, adequate covering. But it was not just covering. It was pointing to Jesus Christ and his blood. Look at chapter 3, verse 21.
Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of
skin. Who made it?
The Lord God made
coat of
skins.
Now, God had to kill an animal. To provide adequate, appropriate covering, as against the man-made covering that was inadequate, did not really meet the need. Within a few days, they would be naked again. As Adam and Eve lie down, a little tree leaf them pop up. And they are back to square one. The animal skin would last a long time. That the animal slain for the skin, the blood that was shed to get the skin, the appropriate covering, all of that was pointing to thousands of years in the future when Jesus Christ would come to die and provide the adequate covering and removal for man's sin. So, you see, the animal covering, the covering from the animal skin, had symbolic meaning. The Almighty God could easily create a plant right then and there whose leaf lasts long. But you see, the covering have to be something associated with blood and life to deal with sin. I'm discussing covering as it is seen in God's revelation from Genesis to Revelation. That until we understand that when the Bible speaks about head covering, when we look in the entire Bible, we see the importance of covering. The one just related from Genesis chapter 3 is one of the passages. Another passage is the one I brought up in the series of lessons I presented, taken from the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse probably 1 through around verse 4. Let us hear it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 3 or 4, and Ezekiel 1, 4, verse 4 through 11.
In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne.
Now, Isaiah, in the year that King Uzzah died, I saw whom?
Also the Lord sitting upon a throne.
Mm-hmm.
High and lifted up,
mm-hmm.
and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the
seraphim. What does it mean, his train? Robe. Garment. Filled the temple. Read.
Above it stood the seraphims.
Above it stood the angel, seraphim. Our angel.
Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did flay.
As I brought up in the series of lessons, and I had shared with you the question the little girl asked. Why would God made the angel with six wings and they need only two to fly? The little child was puzzled. We need not be puzzled, because the other four wings had even a more important purpose. Of the four wings, two of them covered the earth, face, and that was concealing their glory. Two covered the earth,
feet.
And why it is important that the glory, that is the beauty, the magnificence of the angel be covered in the presence of God, is that in the presence of God there must be no competing glory. We must never forget that. In the presence of God, man or angel, we must not compete with God for his glory and honor and his magnificence. And anything about us that's going to compete with God's glory is going to put us in trouble. And this is why the angel have those extra wings for covering, so that their glory, their magnificence, their radiation should not compete with that of God. And of course, that shows humility on the part of the angel. They know what is expected of them. Remember your question, Cheryl. Please remember it. To just keep the chain of thought connected, run with me to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 following.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not.
Mm-hmm.
And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Read.
Then Moses said unto Aaron,
This is
it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified.
And read that last part again. Before all the people, what happened?
And before all the people I will be glorified.
I will be, in other words, Nadab and Abihu, you don't go doing your own thing when you worship me. When you go doing your own thing, you will be glorified. Only when you do what I say, you glorify me. God killed them instantly. I will be glorified before all the people. God, how do we do that? Do what I say. Don't ever in worshiping God go. That's why so much of what we see in the denominational world today as worship, it is entertainment. Bringing our Bob Marley band, and we dance and we do this and we go and say, you know, we feel good. Because most of what was done, God was not the consideration, the worshiper was. And the worshiper is not to be the consideration if it is true worship. in true worship, there is one focus, and that is God. The worshiper comes to give to God God's due. Glory. In fact, look at Psalms 57:5. Quick.
Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.
Let thy glory be above all the earth. 96, 7, and 8, same Psalms.
Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people, mm-hmm. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Two places in the torso verse talk about giving God his glory. There are the passage which tell that God will share his glory with no one. May I? In the passage of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4 through verse 9, but particularly, I think, verse 4.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven.
Read, I think, verse 7.
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God.
But watch here. The passage is talking about the various heads, are we there? And the competing glories. Read verse 7 again.
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head.
And it's going to tell you why.
For as much as he is the image and glory of God.
Man is the image of God, he is the glory of God. That's why it says he's not to cover his head. He represents God. Read.
But the woman is the glory of the man.
That glory must be conceived. It's not just the woman is God's glory. The woman's hair is her beauty and her glory. That in the presence of God must be conceived. Now, remember the passage teaches that the covering of the head for woman and the not covering for man is at it is specific time and under specific situation. There are other times and other situations where she can do whatever she wants with her head. But at these specific times when she approaches God, so with the man, when he approaches God, there must be no competing glory between man's glory and God's glory. Okay. Cheryl, you had a question.
If the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing, Is that an indication when you don't see women having their heads covered all the time that we don't, we are not people who pray without ceasing?
But she ought not to have her head covered all the time. You see, that's the point.
So if you were to do that, like pray everywhere, pray without ceasing, then...
No. What the passage teaches, Cheryl, is that the covering is such a nature, because the Bible does not see the most committed of God's children playing and praying indefinitely. The Bible see where we take time off to pray. And other times we go about our business. Doesn't mean we forget God, but at that time when we go about our business, we are not praying. So the Bible sees prayer as an intermittent thing. You do it often, but not continuous. Man or woman doesn't pray nonstop. And from what the Bible says, it's in the case of preaching, teaching, or praying. Preaching and teaching is the same thing, prophesying. Or praying. It's in those situations, under those circumstances. And what the Bible is giving you here is when the child of God approaches God's presence. In the form of prayer and teaching, preaching, that the covering is required. So to see people going around and their head is not covered, Christian, that's normal and that's natural. In fact, that shows what the Bible teaches, that you don't have to have the covering when you are not praying or prophesying. And if a person feel like, here's a sister who have her car, she's driving to Maypen or Mandeville or Moby, and she feel like probably along the way she may want to stop and pray. She can throw any piece of old rag in her car, or borrow my kerchief. That's right. You see, because the Bible didn't tell us what to use. It must be covered. And we are going to be dealing with that problem, not tonight. So you see, it's important that we understand that the way the Bible teaches on the subject, it shows the temporary, and by temporary, as against permanent nature, the temporary nature of the covering. It's when she prays or prophesies. Well, what about when she's doing other things? Isn't she a Christian? Yes, but you don't wear the covering simply because you're a Christian. You see, the covering is really symbolic to show submission and subordination both to God's will and etc., etc. We'll deal with that a little deeper or a little further. But one of the purposes of the covering is to show submission, that the woman has accepted the place, the submissive, subordinate place or function, rather, that God gave her. It shows that she accepted. To argue and to resist the teaching on the subject is to be a rebel against God's will. And no man or woman ever succeeded in doing that successfully. That's right. We only fight against ourselves. When a man fight against God, he fight against himself, because it is really idiotic to be defiant against God. Brother Peter.
Yeah, most of the religious group don't normally over until they're probably in worship, are going to worship. But there are some group that have full-time cover. Yeah. Would it be a problem if Christians cover full-time?
Yeah, I think the symbolic meaning, Brother Peter, that the Bible is teaching would be lost. You're right. You see, may I? We are in the presence of God at all times. Are we all there? I'm not through. But let me repeat that. We are in the presence of God at all times. But there are times when we are especially in His presence. When the Christian assemble to worship, when we come together for worship, we are in a very special way in the presence of God. Because at that time we come to give God His glory, His honor, His reverence, to adore Him. And when you read throughout in fact, watch here. I will be sanctified in them that come near me. And that is when Nadab and Abihu came to worship at the tabernacle. Notice here the passage in, is it Hebrew? Let us draw near in full assurance of faith, having our body washed with pure water, and our conscience, and what? That was talking to Christian. And the passage was talking about worship, because it is in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm quoting from verse 22. By the time we reach verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. But when he started up there at verse 22, let us draw near in worship. So while I'm still commenting on Brother Pierce's point, while we are in the presence of God all the time, there are times when we are especially close to Him and in His presence. And one of those times is worship. Coming, Sherry. So you're right, Brother Pierce. To wear the head covering all the time for women, because of the symbol that the head covering is, it would lose its meaning. It would lose its meaning. I was anticipating, let me throw it out, somebody asking, well, the man is uncovered all the time. Doesn't it lose its meaning? No, he is to be uncovered. He doesn't have anything he have to put on and take off. Now, if he wants to cover his head, make sure he doesn't do it when he's worshiping. You see. Okay, Sherry. Okay.
Thank you. Just a couple of things.
Yes,
we always have to be mindful of sometimes dishonest or ignorant,
yes,
arguments that are put forth by persons.
Yeah, everybody hear this?
Yeah.
Very important. Coming, Brother Bromley. Over the years, I've heard so much foolishness come up on the subject of head covering. You know, and as Brother Bramley's rightly, lot of it, what I discover is that a lot of the people who want to overthrow what the Bible teach don't give a thorough study to the subject. Everybody, that is one of the things I've discovered over the past few years, that lot of the people you will see, they come with one or two questions. And those questions are just like the denominational people who want to overthrow baptism. They don't study. Once you study the subject, some of the things, we are not, and I'm sure Brother Bramley going to continue, we are not talking about people who ask honest questions. They want to understand the subject. Your people who, they are trying to find a way around what the Bible teaches. Go on, Brother Bramley.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, they just set out just to be frivolous.
Yes.
I am not suggesting that Sister Cheryl is putting forth a frivolous argument or a statement. Yeah. But the passage of Scripture to which she referred, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, again, as we have always said, as the church, yeah, that we need to look at the context in which we are referencing Scriptures.
That's right.
This is clearly, as you have indicated earlier, it is not a mode of continuous praying.
That's right.
But it is this statement or this admonition was made.
Praying without ceasing.
Right.
Yes.
It was made on the background of being aware of the day of the Lord.
Yes.
That we should always be sober because no one knows when the Lord will appear. And therefore, we should conduct ourselves at all time with sobriety.
That's right.
And to be aware that the Lord can come as a thief in the night. So we ought to be prepared. And it's against that background we should be preparing ourselves for this event.
Very important. And to add to it, Brother Bramley, the fact is that the Christian is exposed to a lot of danger when we do not make use of the help that is available in Christ. And the passages encourage Christians to always look to and go to God in prayer for help. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that once you start praying, you know where we stop. Don't stop to drink water.
That's right.
Don't stop to eat. It just means that we must always go to God. Well, in fact, it really means pray regularly.
That's right.
I think that pray regularly. Pray as often as possible. And it's not praying, but because you look and depend on God for help, you continue to go to Him regularly for help. Yes.
There was one additional
thing
I wanted to say with respect to the example, an example found in the Old Testament. Again, this speaks to God's eternal principle of intolerance,
yes,
of competing with His glory.
That's right.
Remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai,
that's right,
and his face shone so brilliantly,
yeah,
that the children of Israel
could not
look upon his face. In Exodus chapter 34, if I may just call us to that passage,
yeah,
and point to us the point now where Moses will now go into the presence of the Lord,
yeah,
having previously had to cover his face, to veil. Yes. In front of the children of Israel. This is what the word of the Lord said. In verse
29,
Exodus, we could start earlier. We could actually start from 29, but I just wanted to focus on 33. Well, if we want to have more full something,
verse 33.
In verse 33 of Exodus chapter 34, the scripture says, "And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face." Mm-hmm. Now look at this. But, I just love this little three-letter word.
Yes, but.
But, whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off.
That's right.
Until he came out.
That's right.
Because God is his head.
That's right.
And to keep the veil on his head, it would be a dishonor to God. This is right. This is an eternal principle. It is not just since the foundation of the New Testament church.
That's, you know, Brother Bramley, I pointed out here, like the subject of divorce, married divorce and remarry for any reason. While the Almighty God kept the children of Israel, or while the Israelites were marrying, divorce, and remarry for any reason, God permitted them to do that. But when we come to Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus Christ gave the exception clause there, Jesus Christ implied that that was from the beginning. But a person will say, well, how comes him didn't talk about this in the Old Testament? Because of human sinfulness, man's spiritual infancy, they were not ready for that truth. So it was not until now Jesus Christ is ready to introduce Christianity that he said, look here, you know, this was from the beginning. Under the Old Testament period, as if it were, God overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere. Well, it's just the same thing, like we have been reading about covering in the tabernacle, the priests covered, and all these covering over centuries. And yet it seems we miss the point. So as Brother Bramley said here, head covering, while it is new to Testament church, covering and veiling is not new. It has always been there and have an important symbolic meaning. Time can run when you have important thing to discuss. But yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it head covering? What is more important, the head being covered or the hair being covered?
Okay, let's go with what the Bible says. The head.
But if the hair, okay, that's what I agree with. But the hair has also been brought into play that your hair is your glory, and your glory shouldn't compete with God's glory. And a lot of time we cover the head, but our glory is still down here. So,
okay. That part of a woman or little of a woman's hair is shown if the woman purposely want to show the hair. then you find that she's not obeying God. If the woman apply appropriate covering that is in keeping with God's word, a little of her hair might be shown, but she would still have obeyed God. You see, so it depends. For example, may I just say this? Okay. A woman who claimed to believe in God coming to church, and she have a little something rest up here. That's not covering the head. That's not. You rest a little piece of something up there. That's, this is why either a veil, a piece of fabric, or a hat that covers the head, that would be appropriate covering. That a little hair is shown when the woman sets out in a harness above boardway to obey God. Because keep in mind that in all ages since Christianity come into existence, all women do not have the same length of hair. You see, there are women whose hair reach them away down here. But if the head is covered, she honor her head. And this is why the Bible didn't say, I can't remember anywhere where the Bible said, if her hair is covered. Huh? Isn't it head, it says?
It says head.
Head.
And that is that physical part of her body.
That's
that
right.
Is what that head is.
That's right. No, the woman's head is not talk about authority. Verse 3, the head there is talk about authority. The head of Christ is God, and that is not talk about our physical head. That is talk about the stratification of authority. The head of man is the woman. You see, but when in place like verse 4 and place, it's talk about the head, covering of the head. It means the physical part here. Because the passage is assuming when the head is covering, it is like the hair is symbolically covered. But when the head is covered, you would have met God's requirement. Because here is it. It's not only the biological mechanics. Huh? Sorry, I didn't bring my cap with me. I was going to borrow Matthew's one, but you see, it's not just the biological mechanics. Well, them say, God say me must cover my head. So you are just mechanically doing. No, the spirit must be in it. The attitude. You must understand that God has a reason and you want to submit to God. It's not just a mechanical thing. The attitude and the spirit must be there. So many things, but thank you all. I really appreciate your input and your question. Please learn. Much more to be said. I close with the fact that no human our earthly glory should compete with God's glory.